Let me share what I did this week. I went on Monday night to the neighbor's house. The neighbor lives across the street. Had to drop something off there. So I asked if he was home. I asked his wife who came to the door. He said, no, he's in the hospital. He had a heart attack. I said, you're kidding. Yeah, last week he said he had a heart attack. And I thought, oh my. No, it had snowed a little bit that night, that evening. So anyways, I went home and I just really felt grieved that I'd never spoken to this individual about the Lord. So I got up and I went over and shoveled his sidewalk, his driveway, and determined that first thing in the morning I was going to go to the hospital and ask the Lord to create an opportunity that I could talk to him. Of course, you know in hospitals how busy they are. They're always coming and going. So I said, well, Lord, it's up to you to create the opportunity. So I got up and I went and I found his room. And when I went into his room, there was nobody there. So I went to ask at the desk and I said, where's this man? And he said, well, he's gone to a test. We'll be back in half an hour. And I thought, oh boy, what am I going to do? So I turned down one hallway and I just felt, no, I should go down the other hallway. So I went down the other hallway and as I just started down the hallway, there he was. He was in a wheelchair being pushed back to his room. And it wasn't a half hour. I wasn't lost for half hour either. So I said, hey, do you have time for a chat? He was kind of surprised to see me. And he said, yeah. He says, I've got somebody coming. Shortly, he's going to bring some coffee. I'm really missing Tim Horton's coffee in the hospital. He can't. He says, we just get little bits of coffee. He likes big jugs of coffee. So I said, well, I don't have any coffee, but, you know, I heard you had a heart attack. And I went on and I said, well, I'm not only here as a neighbor, I'm here as a pastor. You know that I'm a pastor. I said, you've walked up to death's door several times. This is not the first heart attack that he's had. It's about the third one. And I said, you've walked up to death's door several times. I said, you know, I want to apologize that I've never spoken to you about the option that's available to you on this side of death's door. And I said, has anyone ever talked to you about that? He says, well, I really don't believe that people go to hell. I said, oh, is that right? Well, surprised that you would believe that. And we went on and we talked. We talked about that everyone will go to hell if they don't make an option on this side. Then, in about three-quarters of the way the conversation, by the way, nobody's coming in the hospital room now, okay? It's absolutely nobody, which is a miracle in a hospital. We talked and I explained the way of salvation. Three-quarters of the way through the conversation, he says, yeah, I used to go to a Baptist church. Said, even my father was a deacon in the Baptist church. So I said, oh, so you're familiar with some of these things? He says, yeah, I'm familiar, but I don't accept them. I said, well, you know, I'd really encourage you to rethink these things because here you are. You've walked up to death's door just another time, and I sure want to see you make the choice now while you can make the choice. Well, yeah, and then I could tell the conversation was over. He was done talking about it. But I witnessed to him, shared the gospel with him, and I said, would you let me pray for you? And so we prayed together about some business things that he mentioned and for his health and all of those kinds of things. And when I finished the prayer, we just had about two sentences of conversation and in walks through the door, who? The guy with the coffees. I had about 20 minutes uninterrupted time with this man. It was a divine appointment the Lord set up. And I'm disappointed that he wasn't more open to the gospel. I'm hoping that there'll be another opportunity to talk to him. But the very fact was that he knew. He knew the gospel. So I pray that the Lord would remind him of these things and encourage him to talk. So we've got to go and talk to our people, neighbors and friends, because we don't know when their last day will be. Now, his name is Glenn. Would you just join me as we together pray for Glenn? Lord, we pray for Glenn, even this day, that he will reconsider thinking about the things that he has heard even as a boy. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, bring all of these thoughts back to his mind and that he this day will choose to turn from his sin, acknowledging and agreeing with you, Lord, that he is one who has broken your moral law and the only solution is you, Jesus Christ. So we lift him up. Thank you for sparing his life again this time. I pray, Lord, that you would soften his heart, and whatever was that turned him away and turned him off, that he would again realize that you're different. I just pray, Lord God, we together pray and ask for the salvation of Glenn. In Jesus' name we say amen. 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 All right. Today we want to talk about... Okay. We want to talk about all these kinds of interesting things. Time pressures and paperwork. We want to talk about responding to some of the pressures of life. There's always times when we will face different pressures in our life, and that's a reality. And so I thought this week we'd be good to just discuss, what does God say is some good steps for us to take to respond to the various pressures of life? And God has outlined some steps, and so we want to look at them, consider them, so that we can follow God's plan for responding to pressure, as opposed to being reactionary to the pressures that happen to us. But let's pray first of all. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will teach us now from your word, that we will understand the way that we should live, because Jesus, you've outlined for us, you experienced all the pressures that we have faced and will face. So we pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us even from the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, they've actually done a study in psychiatry, and they've made a list of the various larger life pressures that occur in life, and they've given a number to them. For example, Christmas is about a point of about 12. Moving is a very large one. Change of jobs, a number of these different kinds of life pressures. And they say that if you get more than 200 of these units or points within a year, you're in a danger zone. And a lot of times as we look over our life, we end up with a lot of these pressures coming on our life. And so how can we respond? Well, first of all, let's deal with some misconceptions. The misconception is that pressure comes from the outside. Well, pressure doesn't come from the outside. Circumstances come from the outside, and what it creates is responses in us which creates the pressure. The circumstances are not necessarily the pressure, because you've seen various people in the same circumstance who can handle things as if it's no big deal, right? And yet, to us, it can be very stressful. So we need to see that, first of all, the pressure is internal. Pressure comes from our response to obligations. It comes from our overloading, taking on too much so that we don't have any margin. You know what? Remember the margins they used to have? I guess we still have them now, even in computer. A margin doesn't allow you to go beyond a certain area. There's always this little bit of room. I remember in handwriting that occasionally you use the margin to make a little bit of extra space. And there are times in our lives where we have run out of margin. We don't have enough room for the extra things. And so as a result, we become overloaded and we don't know our capacities. And so we end up with pressure. So what are some of the solutions? Well, the first thing we need to do is take a break. Well, that always sounds like a good idea. Take a break. But that's not the kind of break you're thinking, I'm saying, though that's a good one to do as well. Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." In the midst of everything that we're facing and experiencing, we need to come to Jesus Christ. Come back to refocus our priorities, refocus life, and look at life from His perspective once again. And when we do, we come to a place where we have rest. The verse goes on and says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and your burden will be light." And my burden is light. And so we need to come and find Jesus Christ. When we come unto Him, we can lay down our heavy burdens, and then we will find that this is what will actually help us. And one thing I want to mention is that when you're under a lot of pressures of life, you need to keep watch. Because temptations come when we feel weak. Temptations come all the time, but they especially come when we feel weak. The devil is a schemer. And he knows that when we are weak, he will seek to take advantage of us. Jesus said this, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Now, he's talking to the disciples at the Garden of Gethsemane there, and they wanted to pray, but they fell asleep. But Jesus was even more concerned, because the reality is that we need to watch and pray so that we will not fall in temptation. Remember the Lord's Prayer? He says, deliver us from evil. Now, it's actually interesting. Can I make a comment here? Is that word is not just deliver us from evil in general, but it actually means deliver us from the evil one, the devil himself. And so we need to be aware that temptation and the tempter is always there. The spirit is willing. Yes, we're willing to do the right thing, but the body is weak. It's amazing, and I think it's actually very sad how many people have fallen into all kinds of sins, moral sins, that have destroyed their personal integrity, have destroyed their marriages, have destroyed their business opportunities, because at a time of weakness, at a time of pressure, they didn't take the right kind of break and they ended up falling into temptation. The devil will offer his stress relievers, but let me say that they're actually yokes of bondage. And so we need to be very, very careful here that we rather go to Jesus Christ. He said he would give us rest. Now, here's the great comfort that we do have from God. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to all people. So, there's no comfort in that. Here's the comfort. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now, let's just unwrap this. Why would he give us the way of escape if we're supposed to endure the temptation? Which one does he want us to do? Take the way of escape or endure it? Do you see that? God is faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to endure. But he also provides a way of escape. Here, let me put it this way. I believe that the Lord lets us go through some of these times of testing so that we will grow, mature spiritually, that we will grow up. We will learn how to endure temptation so they're not always a problem for us. It's kind of like weightlifting. You know, you don't start up with the 50-pound weights. Where do you start? You start with the 5-pound weights. And you build up some endurance, correct? And then you move on to the 10-pound weights, right? And then the 30-pound weights. And then eventually you get to the 50, and some people go on more than that. How much did you get up to? You used to be a bodybuilder. 200 pounds? Probably. Yeah, 150, 175 pounds, you know. That was just right. Okay. You see, the Lord wants us to be able to endure it. That's His first goal. God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. Now, see this able and this able? To endure it. But if we are unable to endure it, what does He also provide? A way of escape. So that there comes a point where if we find that we're just not able to and we're ready to fall into temptation, take the way of escape. It's not a defeat because that was God's given. But may I encourage you to not always just take the way of escape. Because when we do that, what do we not do? We don't grow spiritually and mature. Does that make sense? Okay. But there's always, God is faithful. He will provide a way of escape. But I also believe that we need to apply the other spiritual principles of resisting the devil and he will flee from you. You know, don't let your hand do the things that are wrong. Don't let your eye dwell and your mind dwell on the things that are wrong. Learn to resist that temptation, because sometimes it appears that you can't run away or the way of escape may require some very radical action on your part. I believe God wants, you know, God is faithful. He will provide that. But let's also learn to grow and mature and you apply the other spiritual principles that He has. Does that make sense? But remember this. You don't have to get in, because when you can't see the door, then you say, Lord, where's the way of escape? And He'll show you. Okay. The second thing that we need to do is we need to then move into a time of prayer. Yes, we're going to take a break. We're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to say, okay, I'm going to be able to endure this because, Jesus, I'm looking for Your strength. How would You handle this? Then we would move into a time of prayer. We see Jesus doing this very often. He had the constant pressure of ministry, the constant pressure of people and the demands. I mean, there were sick people everywhere, always around Him, right? And it said they would press in on Him. I came to understand what that's like a little bit, only a little bit, over in the Ukraine. There was, I think I told you on the Saturday, there was a joint services of about, I don't know, 3 to 5 churches got together. There was about 800, between 800 and 900 people in this one large gathering. And we, there was worship and there was preaching, and then we did prophecy. And we forgot to say that after we're done prophesying, when the service is over, we're done. Don't come to us. We forgot to say that. Well, guess what happened? After the service, all these people came and they're all swarming around us. You know, prophesy over me, prophesy over me. Well, the point was that we were just, it was overwhelming. And it was impossible. The music was pounding and thumping and you couldn't hear each other, and it was just, we just had to finally say, no, we can't, because we can't hear our translator, and you can't either. We've got no recording. But I began to feel some of the pressure. We broke for some supper, and I was going to go to the washroom. And one guy that was sort of hanging around me, his name was Andrew, said, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'll go before you and make sure that the way's clear. I said, really? Oh, he says, yes, you will need it. I kind of thought he was joking. So, I waited about 10 seconds, and he kind of went ahead, and I came, and I walked to the bathroom, no problem. I said, so we got back, and I said, so there wasn't any problem. He says, yeah, but I deflected about 3 people away from you. I said, really? You got to be kidding. So, you just see some of the pressures. And so there is Jesus, very early in the morning while it's still dark, got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. The disciples later said, where are you? Everyone's looking for you. And Jesus said, look, I've got a much higher priority, and that's I've got to spend some time with my God. And so in the time of our pressures of life, we also need to pray. We need to be off in a solitary place with God. Prayer releases the help of God, but it also changes us more importantly, because we align ourselves with what God is doing. We see, God, what are You doing? Bring that down to me. What are You saying? I will say the same things. It's also a time where it says in 1 Peter 5 that we can cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares for us. The King James says, cast all your cares, another term for anxiety. There comes a place in prayer where we say, God, this is too much for me. I can't handle it, so I cast my anxiety on You. And we can do that because, isn't this great? He cares for us. God cares for us. And so as a result, when we go in a time of prayer, God is our refuge and God is our strength. That's what David said. An ever-present help in trouble. And as a result, we could find that ever-present help in the midst of the pressures of life that we're going through. Let's look at another way to respond to the pressures of life. First of all, we saw that we need to take a break, and that is go to Jesus and get the rest that we need from Him. Then we should pray. Thirdly, we should be still and let God be God. Let God be God. Here's the verse, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. Now, there's a problem there that most of us run into. We have trouble being still. This means being still physically, but it also means being still emotionally. And it means being still spiritually. We need to be still. We need to be quiet. And then we will begin to know that God is God. life will take on the proper perspective. Now, I have an MP3 player. I like it. There are times when I use it. Just to create my own sense of space, you know. It's amazing how you can be in a noisy place and you'd think, well, what good does more noise do, right? But to have your own calming noise, it's amazing. But there's still a time where we need to take out the earbuds and we need to be quiet. Not even have that kind of noise. Be totally quiet and learn to know the voice of God. You see, God says, I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. How will He be exalted? When we are still. How will He be exalted over the situations that we have in life? When we are still and we know that He is God. It's very easy in the midst of the pressures of life to forget that He's God. And we've got to respond and have all of that pressure on us. Any of you also ever felt that? Man, it all depends on me. Well, here's the great thing. It doesn't. It doesn't. If we've got, and we do have our God on our side, it doesn't all depend on us. It depends on the God also who lives in us. And that's often a great reality check. To do that, though, we need to be still and let Him reorder our priorities, talk to us, know that this is what He has called us. I mean, it does exactly opposite of what our instincts tell us to do. Because when we're under pressure, most often what we want to do is run faster. But rather, we need to be still. Releasing control to His Lordship, refocusing on Him. Notice what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, says, in quietness and trust is your strength. Quietness and trust. In who? The Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. In quietness and trust is our strength. This is how we come to gain that strength. We're still before Him. And as a result, He is exalted over the pressure situations in our life. As we come to know Him in quietness and trust, He is the Holy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord God over our situations. Isn't that awesome? I'm so glad that the Lord is with us. It says, no matter what we face, we're not alone. The Lord Almighty is with us. What we need to, I find for myself, is a lot of times I need to remind myself of that. I got to be still. I got to calm down. I just got to, okay, God, what is it that I need to be doing next? I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And there are times when we are under a lot of pressure and we have no more strength. We have no more strength in ourselves. This is the time, and actually before we get to that point, we should be calling out for the strength of the power through the Spirit of Jesus, of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, rather, who is in our inner being. Call out for the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus. He's in us. Next thing, responding to the pressures of life, is we need to trust the Lord to provide what you need when you need it. Now, what are those last four words? Let's say the last four words together. When you need it. I always like it before I need it, right? I like to know it's there and in place, right? Don't you? Yeah, we do. But God's amazing is that He likes to give it just at the last moment. I haven't quite figured out why, other than to try and increase my faith value, my faith quotient or whatever it is. But God, you know, I stagger sometimes and like, okay, God. But at the last moment, God gives it when I need it. Do not fear, the Lord said in Isaiah 41, verse 10, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How many things did God say He will do in this verse? 3. Let's look at them. Number 1, I will strengthen you. That's a pretty good thing. What's the next one? I will help you. And what's the third thing? I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So as a result, we are to do what? Not fear. And do not anxiously look about, for He is our God. And as a result, when God said He's going to do these things, we need to trust that He will provide what we need when we need it. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. But what we need to do is wait on the Lord. Waiting is a challenging word, isn't it? Rush, 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 rush. Wait, wait. Waiting is a challenging word. But it's a word we need to put into our life and trust the Lord to provide. It says there that my God will provide all your needs through His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's found in the book of Philippians. My God shall provide all your needs. Isn't that awesome? It also says in the book of Colossians, I am able to do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. So that's awesome. So we need to trust the Lord. Then I think we need to, now at this point, we can start putting some order to our life. Let's just remind ourselves about the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You can find that in Mark chapter 6, between verses 39 and 40. There's at least 5,000. That's only 5,000 men. They didn't count the women and children at that point. So there's probably, 10 to 15,000 people? And they said, Jesus said, let's feed them. And so He turns to the disciples and says, what do you got for food? And the disciples say, nothing. One guy says, hey, this little boy over here has a lunch. It's got a couple of fish and a few small pieces of bread. Oh, that's enough, Jesus said. Okay, that was barely enough for a boy, let alone 15,000. So Jesus knew what He was going to do. He knew He was going to multiply the food. But what before Jesus began to multiply the food, what did Jesus have the disciples do for the crowd? What was the crowd to do?
Sit down.
Sit down. In what way? Groups of 50 and 100. There was to put some order in it. Otherwise, there'd be chaos. Everybody would feel, I'm not getting any, I'm not getting any. Whereas if they were in groups, then you could walk up to the group and know that the group was going to get looked after. You see that? That Jesus told the disciples, have them sit down, number one, and sit down in groups. Have them sit down in groups. And so they sat down in groups. And then Jesus looked up to heaven, took the little fish. By the way, the word there for fish is closer to sardine. This is a small little fish. It's going to go to at least 15,000 people. And the bread was this flat bread, they eat over in the Middle East. This flat little, not tortillas, what do you call it? Well, flat bread, okay. Flat bread, there you go. And so there's just a few of these. And so Jesus took it, looked up to heaven, thanked the Father that He was about to multiply, and gave it to the disciples. Gave them what? A little piece of a broken fish and a little chunk of bread. And they were supposed to, in faith, isn't this awesome? In faith, walk up to a group of 50 and start handing it out. So where did the most of the miracle take place?
At
the hands of the disciples. Isn't that awesome? And that's what will happen to us too. As we go out to do the things that God's told us to do, the miracle's going to happen at our hands as we lay hands on the sick, as we speak healing over people's lives. It happens at our hands the same way. Jesus didn't suddenly say, wham! And there was this big truckload of food. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it out. So there are times, but the point I wanted to say is He had them sit down in these orderly fashion. And there comes a point where we need to arrange and plan and even budget. So that because we need to sometimes we do need to put order to our work. The book of Proverbs says that we are supposed to make our plans and then we're supposed to submit those plans to the Lord. It's not an indication of being led by the Spirit where you have no plans and no ideas. That's not an indication of being led by the Spirit, okay? I just want to set that straight. Because God is also a God of order. He has given us a brain. He would appreciate if we would use it from time to time. That's humor there, okay? Everybody laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you.
I've tried that budget a couple of times. It's never worked.
Well, yeah, after that, we try that, and then we have to say, God. It also recalls self-discipline there, mister. So that helps, too. Then there are times when we're to respond to the pressures of life, we have to learn to just say no. Just say no. No is a very powerful and liberating word. We need to find our limits and live within them. There it is. No is a powerful and liberating word. You know, as much as we would love to do everything, there comes a point where we have to say no. Now, though it's a powerful and liberating word, do you find it difficult like I do to say no? Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's hard to say no. But there are times where we have to say, no, that's not reasonable. It's not possible. It's not doable. So we need to learn to say no. Well, we also need to learn to work to our strengths. And what I mean by that is that we need to not only... We need to understand that we are not competent in ourselves. Notice this verse. Not that we are competent, this is the Apostle Paul, competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but, what does he say? Our competence comes from God. You know what competence means? That you're able and you have the ability to do what's required of you. So where does the competence come from? Our competence comes from God. And notice what he said. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so what we need to see here is that we are not competent in ourselves to claim anything, but we can turn to the strength that comes from God. So we need to learn to work within the giftings and the abilities God has given you. It's really valuable to learn to say, what gifts have you given to me, Holy Spirit? And also, Father, what motivational gifts have you given to me? And know those things so that we can work to those strengths and abilities. Otherwise, we're forever sort of grating against our own nature. Do you know what I mean by that? So, there are times, though, when we have to do temporary short jobs. And so one thing I've learned is ask God to give you temporary grace to do a short job, even if it lies outside of your set of giftings. God can give us grace to do temporary and short jobs. Should they be the long-term thing? No. But there are times when you have to do them. And so ask God for the grace to do those temporary and short jobs. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the enablings that He gives and the strengths that He can work through us. The gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there's 9 of them listed there, are the supernatural abilities that He works through us. The supernatural abilities. And as a result, He's able to do supernatural things through us. One last idea, and that is stick with today's challenges. Because most often, worry comes in, right? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, right? It has enough trouble of its own, so I put it this way. If it has enough trouble of its own, don't go and try and borrow against tomorrow's troubles. You know, leave it for tomorrow, right? Another way to look at it is it says in the Scripture that every morning we're given a new set of grace that's for that day. He gives grace for... Grace is new every morning in the book of Ecclesiastes, I think it is. Is it Lamentations? Lamentations. He gives new mercies every morning and grace every day. So we've given a new set of grace today, which means we can use it up and spend it. But if we try to take tomorrow's problems and work it with today's grace, we're going to be short. Have you ever... This is a way to practically understand this. It's late at night. You're just about ready for bed. And then you realize, oh no, tomorrow I have to do... And guess what? You've got no grace for it. It's all burnt up. Today's grace is all used up. The best thing to do is go to bed. When you get up in the morning, guess what? It doesn't seem like such a huge problem. It's not only because we're physically and psychologically tired. It's because we're trying to think about tomorrow's problem with today's grace. Every day has enough trouble. Let's not go borrow troubles. And that's what worry does. It borrows troubles, but it doesn't give you any ability to do anything about those troubles. So let's summarize this. To respond to the pressures of life, let's take a break. Let's go to Jesus Christ. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. We need to be in prayer. Jesus often went for times of prayer to a solitary place and got God's perspective. We need to be still and let God be God in our life. Let Him rearrange us. Let us once again remember He's sovereign over all things. He's still on the throne. The universe is still okay. Even though for us it seems like it's falling. We need to gain a big perspective that God is God. Then we need to trust the Lord to provide what we need when we need it. And not worry that it's not going to be there, but step forward believing that He will give it at the right and appropriate time. Yes, let's put some order to it. Let's arrange, let's do the planning, and submit those plans to the Lord, as it says in the book of Proverbs. And then there's times we just need to say no. The agenda's full. We can't do any more. We'll do it on Tuesday of next available Tuesday, whenever that is. It's like somebody said to me, the weather's going to be good on Friday. I said, is that right? He says, yeah, I just don't know which month. I thought, oh, okay. We can say yes. We'll say yes for the Tuesday when we're available. And when's that? I don't know. We just have to say no. And then we need to work to our strengths. And last one, sort of down at the bottom, stick with today's challenges. Don't worry about tomorrow, because if we are doing these things, God will give us what we need, and worry will become less of a problem because we know that God is God and He is still in charge, and that He will provide today, and that He will provide for tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord God, I just pray for every one of us as we face the challenges and pressures of life, that we indeed will turn to You first and gain Your strength and Your perspective and see the bigger picture, that You are still on the throne and life is not out of order, though at the moment it may seem that way to us. I pray that You will teach us and guide us, direct us, and that You, Holy Spirit, will empower us. And we thank You, God, that You are faithful and sovereign, and we trust and believe in that. I just pray this week, Lord, that everyone will find breakthroughs. Lord, You're the God of the breakthrough, so give everyone a breakthrough, even this week, in the areas that they're needing it. And we thank You, Lord, that You will do this, because we're asking it now. In Jesus' name, amen.